for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Monday afternoon, December the 29th, 1986. Midwinter family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Steve Bell of the Dallas, Texas area is the teacher of the afternoon. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for a replacement.
All right. We'll turn the rest of the afternoon to Steve Bell, who this is like home to him here, too, as it is to many others. And he's at home here, and we appreciate the ministry that the Lord's laid on him. And we feel privileged to have had a little part in it. And the Lord bless you, Lord, Steve, as you minister to us that which you have for this time.
Okay, brother.
It was, I was counting it up, it was 8 years ago, this camp meeting, exactly on Christmas camp, holiday camp meeting, that first walked into this place. And walked in about 4 in the afternoon. We'd driven in from Dallas, and they were having a mass deliverance here. And I'd never seen one before. And somebody handed me a paper towel back there, and they thought we were the FBI agents and all that stuff. So it's been 8 years that we've been coming here now as a victim and otherwise. Praise the Lord.
Well, they walked in here, he and the fellow that was with him, dressed in black suits, you know, and all spiffied up. And Baptist, you know. But when they walked in, there were some boys here who were ex-addicts. And it shook them up, and they said, uh-oh, the FBI, the narcs are here checking, they're looking. And they meant it.
Now I'm a gospel narc. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad to be here. I thought I knew what the Lord wanted me to minister today. And I didn't know whether for sure I'd be ministering this afternoon. I kind of felt like I would. So I felt like for the last 2 days I knew what the Lord wanted me to minister. But in the light of since I've gotten here and what the Spirit of God's been showing me and dealing in my heart about, I think maybe I may ought to take a turn and maybe leave the other teaching for another time for getting an opportunity to teach it. I really felt like that one of the things God wanted to minister to you at this camp was deliverance in the areas of your mind. And we have some things that we feel that could really help you get free. But I believe that the Lord wants me to go this way this afternoon. And I don't know how much deliverance there will be in this. But I feel like to take up where Brother Tommy left off and teach on intercession. And I really feel the Lord wants me to do that. He's shown us some things about it. And it's some things that I'd never seen before that God had shown me about intercession. So let's go to the book of Isaiah. The 53rd chapter, first of all. Just pray God's blessings upon His Word. That, Father, we loose the spirit of revelation, spirit of truth here this afternoon in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the spirits of God come and minister. Send the warring angels. We bind you, Satan, out of this gathering now. We bind up all witchcraft and all mind control. In Jesus' name, all spirits of strife and division, I bind you now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I confess the blood covering, the blood of Jesus, as a mantle over everyone here today. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In the 12th verse of Isaiah 53, where we have the prophecy about Jesus, it says, "Therefore I will divide him a portion, with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Look at Isaiah 59 now, the 16th verse. I think that was touched on today. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness it sustained him. The Lord had me to begin to look at this thing of intercession very, very closely for several reasons that I'll get into later. But so many times when we deal with a word so important as intercession, it's good to do a word study. And as you know, you can take a Strong's Concordance and find the number and go to the back and find out some of the root meaning of the Hebrew or the Greek. And to me, I always lean toward finding what the root is in the Hebrew, because I think that's more the root of what God's after than we in the Greek. We found out that the four Gospels were originally written in Hebrew, and that they were literally translated to the Greek. And so to do a heavy word study in Greek is really not that important. But when we dig in the Hebrew, which was, I believe, the language that Jesus mostly spoke, I think we can dig out some things. And when I began to dig to find out what that word meant in Hebrew, the word intercession, it was surprising to me. I'd always thought of intercession as mainly just prayer. Sometimes people laying on the floor, crying out to God, had a kind of a picture of that. And the Lord began to show me that part of that was a religious tradition picture that I'd built in my mind from my past experiences, and that I needed to go and let the Spirit of God minister to me what it really means to be an intercessor. So we dig that word out, and we find out that that word in Strong's, if you're interested, is it's number 6293 in the Strong's, and it's a root word, a primitive word that means pagah. It's spoken, rather pronounced, as I know it, pagah. And if you dig it out, the word in these two passages for intercession or intercessor means to impinge by accident or violence or importunity, to come betwixt, to impinge by accident or violence or importunity. Now, the word importunity is another word that's been misunderstood and misused in teaching. Importunity does not mean persistence. Importunity means brashness. If you'll look it up, study it out, it means to be brash. It means to be brazen. It means to be just the kind of person that just walks in and takes over. Somebody that's importune would be somebody that would walk through that door back there, just walk in and take the microphone and say, I'm going to preach. That's importunity. That was a surprise, because I'd always preach that differently. Check me out. Check it out in the Word. See what it really means. So intercession means to impinge by accident or violence or importunity, by brazenness, by brashness, to come upon, see? Now, when you break the word out, it means to meet. The basis of the word to means to meet. It's followed by a preposition to or upon, and it conveys the idea of physical contact. Physical contact. And we'll dig some more here. All right, so let's do that. Go with me now to the book of Genesis, the 28th chapter, 11th verse. I'm using the New King James. Genesis 28:11. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head and lay down in the place to sleep. The part there that says, and he came to a certain place, or he reached a certain place, or in the Old King James, it's he lighted there, is the word pagah. The same word. 62:93 in the Hebrew. He lighted there. He interceded there. All right? Now, so it means to reach a certain place, to come to a certain place, to light there, to arrive there. The second form of the meeting means to kill. It means to fall upon with the intent or the idea to kill. And it's used 15 times with this kind of meaning. Let's go to Exodus, the 5th chapter, and the 3rd verse. And Moses and Aaron had gone in to see Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." So they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." Lest he fall upon us with pestilence is the word pagah. Lest he fall upon us with the intent to kill. Lest God intercede here. There's a sense of violence in this word. A sense of destruction in the word. Now, in the light of this, there are two kinds of intercession. We can make intercession to man, where Ruth made intercession to Naomi and pleaded with her, "Let me go with you." Or we can make intercession to God, as in the case of Jeremiah. But basically, I believe that an intercessor is one who makes contact with God, as opposed to the many who simply dabble in prayer. An intercessor meets with God, without question. I want to look at a couple other scriptures. Let's go to Judges, the 8th chapter, 21st verse. Two people here who'd kill somebody, Ziba and Zalmunna. But rather than get into the details of that, it says, "So Ziba and Zalmunna said, 'Rise yourself and kill us, for as a man is, so is his strength.' So Gideon arose and killed Zalmunna and took the crescent ornaments that were on their camels' necks." Would somebody read verse 21 in the Old King James, please? Who's got an old one? I've got one in my briefcase, but go ahead. Okay, where it says, "and fall upon us," is the same word that's used for intercession, pagah. To fall upon us with the intent to kill us. Now let's look at one more, 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 15. I went to 1 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 15. "And David said to him, 'How was it you were not afraid to put forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?' Then David called one of the young men and said, 'Go near and execute him.' And he struck him so that he died." And we come upon the word pagah again, where he fell upon him and killed him. So basically, we have to draw a conclusion here that this word intercessor has a very strong meaning. Now, it's interesting that in the Greek, it means to chance upon, it means to confer with, it means to entreat in favor or against, it means to deal with, it means to make intercession. All right? Now, let's go to Ephesians. 6th chapter. Most of you know it. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but we wrestle with something. And brethren, what the Lord was showing me was that the primary intent of intercession is is wrestling in the spirit with the sense of finding the enemy, falling upon him with the intent to kill. That there's a violence involved in it, and that it's not just always some moaning and groaning, but it's an aggressive thing in the spirit that rises up, and the lamb turns into a lion with the intent to destroy the enemy, to kill. And you follow the theme throughout the Old Testament in the life of David and in all of his mighty men, and you study the life of David's mighty men and find out that the ones that were the mightiest were the ones that had killed the most. And the whole type and shadow of the conquest of Canaan was to go in and to kill, 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 destroy, 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 until the land is cleansed. And all of that speaks of Pagah, intercession, intercession. Now, I know there's a travail in the spirit. I know there's a birthing. But God showed me something about that the other day. Let's go to Hebrews.
Praise the Lord. I think Hebrews. Somebody help me out. I'm talking about, I guess it's not Hebrews, it's Galatians. Galatians 4. No. Hallelujah. Yeah, Galatians, let's go to 4:27. It says, but Jerusalem above is free in 26, which is the mother of its all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who did not bear, or do not bear, break forth and shout, you who do not travail, you who do not have birth pangs, for the desolate has many more children than she who was a husband. Rejoice, O barren. Who's barren? Jerusalem or Hagar? Hagar. Hagar? No, not Hagar. Who's barren? Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the barren one. Am I right? All right, Tommy? Rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, do not travail or have birth pangs, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. I just leave that to meditate upon a little bit. But, brother, the Lord is showing me this. There's a lot of the church world out there that doesn't want to get into deliverance. They don't want to talk about demons. They don't want to talk about war. And they don't want to do it. That's right. But, brother, the main thrust of intercession is not groaning on the floor. It's aggressiveness in the spirit with a sword, with the intent to kill, slay, and destroy, and wipe it out and cleanse the land. It's warfare. It's for the lions. And it's hard, and it's work, and it's bloody, and it's sweaty, and you're going to get wounded. Those mighty men had scars on them. You know they did. If you go out one day and kill 800 men, some of them are going to get you somewhere. You're going to get some blood. But the Lord told me and showed me that He's wanting to raise up an army that will stand up in the Spirit, stand up in the Spirit, and defy the enemy and say, you will not take this bean field. You will not. Over my dead body you'll have this bean field. And that's the stance and the attitude of an intercessor. And not only will he stand, but if the enemy doesn't come at him, go for the enemy. I'm going to get you, bud. I'm not going to wait on you anymore. The Lord showed me that I had to change my attitude of waiting until problems came up. And then being a fire putter outer. God says, go start some. Attack. 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 Some of us are sitting here, and the other teaching, I see how it ties in now, is on passivity. Some of us are sitting here, and we're putting up with the biggest pile of junk in our lives. And putting a fire out here and putting a fire out there. Pray for me, pray for me. The roof's falling in again. And God is saying, hey, when are you going to rise up, put on your armor, and get your shield and your sword, and go? And brethren, only those that have that warrior spirit are going to make it in this day. I've seen more people in the last 10 years go down the tube especially single women, because they will not become warriors. They will not fight. They just remain passive, and the enemy slowly but surely devours them. And brethren, it's time for the lions. Hallelujah. And the lionesses. Paga. Paga. I'm going to paga you, Satan. And see, these principalities and powers, brethren, all they're waiting for is us to pull them down. All God's waiting for is some people to get in agreement, rise up in the Spirit, and go after them. And not stop, not lay our sword down until we have absolutely got the victory. Israel, see, they would never completely put all the enemy out. Oh, we like these Philistines. I mean, after all, they're artisans, and those little things they make are just what we need. And they're so skilled at this and that, well, we can put them to work and let them serve us. God said, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And you know the analogy I see today? I see people in the kingdom of God that have demonic abilities that they don't want to let go of. There are people in the sales. I've seen people that are in sales. And they've got a witchcraft, mind-controlled, demonic ability. Some of them learned it through DeSilva mind control. And they're so good at selling, they don't want to let those demons go. Because they're afraid to trust God as their source. And they won't cleanse the land. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a thorn in your side. And it's going to be like a fifth column in your camp when the real time comes. You better get clean. You better get all those things out of your life. I've seen people that don't want to let go of their psychic ability to prophesy. Oh, but I see in the Spirit. Yeah, but what Spirit? Listen, brother, I've seen some people with the keenest discernment for demons that I was overwhelmed until I found out it was a spirit of divination. And they could, boy, they could see demons in people, and it just, it intimidated me. Really, I thought, boy, I must not be living right. I don't see all this. And God began to show me that those people had a spirit of divination, and they were divining demons. And the devil was allowing it for deceptive purposes. Listen, we're in an hour of such subtle deception, and it's getting more subtle and more subtle and more subtle. We're going to have to stir ourselves up and get on our armor and get awake and get out of our carnality and get with it. I'm telling you. Brother, there's a spirit of witchcraft mind control battling this camp. And if you don't get keen in the Spirit, you're going to miss it, and you're going to let it seduce you, and you're going to get into that dark thing and miss what God wants to do here. Hear me? Hallelujah. But praise God, the devil must be upset. He's working that hard. The Lord told me coming down Highway 7 last night, He said, get ready. There's a war. Hallelujah. Now, let's go on. Let's go to Jeremiah, chapter 15. We can't escape war. If you turn your back on the devil and run, he'll shoot you down. And brother, I'm telling you, if I go out of this thing, it's not going to be with a bullet in my back. He's going to have to shoot me head on. He's going to have to get, and he better make it good the first time, boy. Because if he doesn't get at me fatally the first time, he's a dead duck. Hallelujah. But I tell you what, the overcomers are going out of this thing fighting. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah 15:1. And this was an eye-opener. Then the Lord said to me, talking to Jeremiah, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be favorable toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. God is speaking to His prophet, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah had a hard ministry. You know that. It wasn't a successful ministry in the eyes of the world. In fact, none of these guys had a successful ministry. Even Paul. Every church he started got destroyed. But everything else. And in the eyes of today's judgment, they would all been flawed. So God spoke to Jeremiah, and He says, even though Moses and Samuel stood before me. And I said, Lord, what does that mean?
Well, here's what God showed me. You see, Moses and Samuel, when you study their lives, their ministry, the primary thrust of their ministry was intercession. Samuel was probably the greatest intercessor in the Old Testament. But the thing God showed me was that there are folks that have more influence. You say, well, God's not a respecter of persons. What do you say here? He said, look, even if Moses and Samuel prayed for these people, came before me to intercede, I wouldn't hear them. What an honor to these two men by God. But what the Lord was showing me was this, is that there are some qualities that He's looking for in intercessors. It's not particularly just a calling, brother. In fact, I'm just going to tell you how I see it. I don't see it as a calling. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But let's look at Genesis 18 first. And what God was showing me in all of this is that I can't just walk into this thing lightly and say, well, praise God, I'm going to become an intercessor. Remember the three men that came down to see Abraham? He's sitting in the heat of the day. And they were on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? And since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I've known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he's spoken to him. Now, what's the Lord saying there? He's saying, look, here's a man that will do right in his household. How can I keep anything from him? And that opened the door for this man to be an intercessor of that city. Because his household, he commanded his household. And brethren, I think that's one of the qualifications of coming before God on behalf of anybody. How can I come before God if I can't regulate it in my own life? How can I go pray for a family if my own family's in chaos? What kind of witness would I be before God? Oh, but you see, positionally, Buck. This wasn't a positional thing. He wasn't saying, well, praise God, I'm confessing that everything's all right in my household. No, it was right in his household. See, we've gotten into an unreality with some of this confession. We've got another teaching called reality. We need to get into reality. I not only believe, brother, that positionally I can be pure, I believe practically I can be pure. And I believe that's where God's bringing us. It's not some unreal thing that I'm just going to name and claim, brother. I'm going to come there. I'm not a son of God just because the Bible says I am. I'm becoming a son of God in reality. Hallelujah. And, brother, there's a reality to righteousness. Did I turn that off? No. Okay. Now, look at Moses in Exodus 4. And we'll not do a lot about that, but just simply there in 4:24, you remember the story. Moses was on his way down to deliver Israel, and his wife stopped him. Why? Why? He hadn't taken care of something practical. He hadn't circumcised his boys. God says, I'm going to kill you. You're not going anywhere. Your ministry's over. And his wife picked up on that, and you know, so forth. But anyway, that circumcision had to take place before he could be an intercessor. And brethren, it's still the same. Circumcision of the heart. Taking care of the family. The kingdom of God is the practical thing of God. Brethren, I've shared here before about my old car that I was cursing, and it was so ugly, it had dents, it was old, dirty, brown Ford Torino, it wouldn't run half the time, and we were praying for a new, dependable car, and God just didn't seem to come through, and finally I read Luke 16 and realized that I had to be faithful with that thing, and I said, Lord, I thank you for the car that I've got, I'm going to be a good steward of it, and it may be the last car I ever get, and I thank you for it. And I went and bought floor mats for it, and bought plugs for it, I put a new oil filter in it, even though it was using oil so fast, you know, it kept clean because it just goes through so fast. It wouldn't stand there long enough to get dirty. And I decided, well, I'm going to wax that thing. You know, that old dirty thing. And brother, when I waxed that old car, dents and all, I worshiped God. I worshiped God. Why is that worship? Because I was obedient to the Word of God. And when I'm obedient, I worship. You know how I know that? Because when Abraham went up on the mountain and lifted the knife, the Word says he worshiped that. And there are times when we lift a knife and put to death those things in our lives and circumcise those things. And it becomes a worship to God. All worship and praise is not all this. Just obedience at home. Hardest job I ever had in my life was raising kids. Nobody wants it nowadays. The most important job, if you're a parent, that you've got in the world today is raising your children. It's more important than your profession. It's more important than church. Because if you don't do that right, you're not qualified for church. But if you want to get qualified for the kingdom, get to work at raising your children. It'll make you stay home at night when you want to go out. It'll make you sit in a room with them to see that they do what they got to do. It'll make you have to pick up a rod and it'll hurt you and you'll want to weep when you put the rod to them. But brethren, that's worship. Nobody wants to do it. And that's why we got a land full of delinquents. Nobody wants to be a father. It takes too much time. Too painful. Too much work. But every intercessor that God will hear will fulfill that responsibility. The kingdom of God is so practical. Let's get out of our religion. And let's quit kidding ourselves down. We go down and hoop and holler at the church and go home to chaos. And we get that right. God will hear us when we intercede and something will happen. And that's why he's not hearing us. Because our lives aren't right. We can lay down here and cry and holler all day long. But if there's things in our lives that aren't right, brother, God will not hear us. Don't let's kid ourselves. The first thing is repentance. The second thing is restitution. The third thing is obedience. And then we'll have something to pray about. Hallelujah. Look at Job. Chapter 42. I teach Job a little differently. Some of you know that. I don't think Job's problem was fear. Job's problem was pride. Religious pride. That's why we got a whole chapter on Leviathan. A whole chapter to some alligator? Baloney. Leviathan's not an alligator. Or a crocodile or Pharaoh. Leviathan's religious pride. With all his kneesings and blowings, and you better not put a hook in him. Boy, that's for sure. Do you ever put a hook in a Pharisee? Hallelujah. Verse 5, he says, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job had a revelation about himself. He saw his religious pride, his arrogance, and his haughtiness. It had brought him down because pride comes before a fall. And when he had that revelation and repented of that pride, we look over in verse 10. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. When Job repented, he could then become an intercessor. When he got rid of his pride. See, if we come up here, oh God, I thank you that we're not like all these heathen. Save America, God. Lord God, if it weren't for us, what would it be? Oh God, we're just a remnant. Baloney. He doesn't love us anymore. In fact, we were talking today that God always brings judgment first upon those who are most blessed. It always starts at the house of God. And that's why this nation's judgment is sealed. We may have a Josiah revival, but I'm telling you, brethren, he's going to start where he's blessed most,
and there's been the most rebellion and arrogance and denial of the things of God. So get ready. Now, praise God, if you're in the rock, you're going to be all right. But I'm telling you, he's going to shake this place. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Hallelujah. I know a lot of others aren't preaching it that way. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's look at one other in Samuel. 1 Samuel, chapter 15. And boy, this one gets me because it's strong to me. 1 Samuel 15, verse 34, Samuel went to Ramah and Saul went to the house at Gibeah. This was after Samuel brought Saul the word that, hey, you're done. You've transgressed. And Samuel said to Saul, I'll not return to you, for you've rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. Now, let me tell you something, brother. We are dealing, I don't know about y'all, but we're dealing with a lot more people that have crossed the line. And I don't want to accept it. But I have, here lately, about three people we've dealt with. We can't bring them back to God. Now, this may affect your theology, but let me tell you something.
Please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.
This may affect your theology, but let me tell you something. When a woman is obviously miraculously healed, and because of her sin loses her healing, and then goes for a year and a half and mocks God and cusses God and blasphemes God, and then tries to find her way back, all I can say is she hasn't found it yet. Brother, you've got to realize that we're not playing games. This is not some kind of religious club that you decide to go for a while and then drop out and go on vacation and then come back and reestablish your membership. There's a day where God's going to say, that's it. You crossed the line. Read Hebrews. Yeah, 6 for one of them. Brother, let's sober up in this thing. And I'm not saying, I don't know what to tell you. I'm just telling you that we've prayed and agonized with these people. And all we get from God is they've crossed the line. They've turned from me. There is an unpardonable sin. There is a sin unto them. Why do I always have to have the heavy words? One of these days I'm going to get to preach on joy. But here's Saul, see, it's over. And can you imagine if from today you could never feel, hear, or touch God again? My God! I've had ministers come to me looking, oh, if I could just have my anointing back, if I could just be back in the ministry. There's no way back. At least that I've seen so far. And it sobers me. I says, my Lord, God, don't let me blow it. There's a fear of God. And I just see people still thinking that we're having a party. We're still, you know, a charismatic wine drinking party. And God says, you know, I'm going to take the wine out of the land. He says it in Isaiah. I'm going to take away the joy and the drunkenness, dash you one against the other and destroy you if you don't sober up. Because when I was a child, you know, I could get by with those things. But it's time to grow up, saints, and come to maturity in order that because of maturity, we can come to wholeness. There's a difference between wholeness and maturity. Hallelujah. See, there's a body that's perfectly formed. It's whole. And also mature. Now, if you've got a child with an arm missing, then you don't have either one. But if you have an adult with an arm missing, you've got maturity, but you don't have wholeness. God, He wants a body that's mature and a body every part there. Now, look at Samuel, though, here, verse 35. And Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, look at this. Samuel knew Saul. And the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. Then the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Now, brethren, what I see here is this. God doesn't want us to get caught up in false burdens. You see, the devil, if he can't stop us from coming into this, he'll get us praying for something else. He'll lead us off into some witchcraft prayers and praying and carrying burdens for this and that, one thing or the other. And go ahead and pray, but as long as you don't pray for what God wants you to pray for. You know, I think Samuel missed it a little bit. He mourned for old Saul, a little bit of soul carnality in there. See, I love that old boy. He's good looking. He's tall. He's, you know, boy, he could prophesy. I had the same thing happen to me. Had a prophet come to our church, and boy, he was tall, good looking. He could teach. He could preach. He could prophesy over everybody in the room accurately. And praise God, the Lord finally sent us a prophet. Been sending, well, come to find out he was false as a $3 bill. And boy, when I had to put him out of the church, and I finally had to do it, I finally had to release him. And that's a long story because there's some other things involved. But anyway, I wept like a baby. Why? Because of carnal love for a brother. And yet, some real, maybe some compassion there. But see, he had it. God says, you know, why are you weeping for this? Get your emotions out of it. Let's get on with the kingdom. So we don't want to spend our emotions on the wrong thing. 1 Samuel 8, there's one more here, verse 19. Another point here, brother, says, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but we will have a king over us. No, but we want to be in shepherding. That we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Be my covering, brother. You bet. Anything that gets between you and your relationship with God is not of God. And I heard Derek Prince say something on a tape. Says an apostle is not to hold you down, it's to hold you up. And if the apostle's on top, anything that's on top holding you down is not of God. Anything that's under you, undergirding you, holding you up, letting you make your own mistakes and learn your ways in God is of God. Hallelujah. We got too many lids and not enough foundations. That's what makes this ministry hard. A brother came all the way from England last week and prophesied. He said, brother, you got a foundational ministry. And I said, well, I know what that means. It goes down first. Nobody can see what you're doing, and it's all dirt and stones and junk. And then when they build the building, nobody can see what you did. But Jesus. That's right, friends. Boy, they know. They know if you missed it. And they'll remind you too, praise God. All right, verse 21. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. So the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice, make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, every man go to his city. Praise God. Lord God, help us that we start praying for the wrong thing, and God give it to us. Brother, we got to be careful about praying for who's president, and who's this, and who's that. We need to know the mind of God in these things. We might pray us in a Hitler. Brother, we don't need a king. We need to bring back the king. And don't get distracted by this thing. Because what God showed me is that as good as our Constitution is, it is not a theocracy. And until we have a theocracy, we don't have the kingdom. We're not going to bring the kingdom in by voting in a president. We're going to bring the kingdom in by becoming a pure army of God. And getting right with God. That'll bring the kingdom. Don't get distracted in the flesh. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Now, let's go to Hebrews and I'm done. Hebrews, chapter 12. Brother was there last night. Verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2 is the one I'm after. Looking unto Jesus. Not some personality, not some star, not some teacher, not some pastor, but looking unto Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame,
and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, who for the joy that was set before him. What was that joy? Go to chapter 8, verse 6. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he also is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Now look at chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore, he's also able to save the uttermost, to the uttermost, those who come to God through him, since he ever lives to what? To make intercession for the saints. Brethren, the most excellent ministry in all of the creation, of all the kingdom, is the ministry of intercession. That was the joy that Jesus saw, that if I will come into this death at the cross and will lay down my life, because he had the power to lay it down, he had the power to take it up. No man could take it from him. And basically, as a son of God, you have the same power. And he saw that if I willingly lay down my life, that on the other side of that death is a resurrection that ascends me into a ministry that's the most excellent of all, and that's the ministry of interceding for my people. The most excellent ministry. Sitting at the right hand of the Father, the place of rest, interceding for you and me. And he ever intercedes. And brother, I'm convinced that the army of intercessors that will be raised up in this day will only be those that have died completely to self, embraced the cross to a total death, and have disappeared in an ascension to the right hand of the Father, and then positionally, if you want to get into that word, they rise up and intercede. And brethren, it's not that visible of a ministry. I think the true intercessors are those that you would never know it. They don't have to go around and say, I'm an intercessor, I'm an intercessor, I'm an intercessor. Brother, that's where we're all headed. That's where the whole remnant's headed, is right there. And I don't see it as a special select group. I see it as the remnant of overcomers. That is the most excellent ministry. And God told me something one day. He said, son, if you'll learn to pastor in the prayer closet, you'll be the most successful pastor that there ever was. He says, all the pastoring's done in the prayer closet. And if you'll pastor there, it'll be so much easier because you can just rest there. And I'll show you everything you need to do. And some of the things in people's lives, they'll never even know that you prayed for it. You'll never even have to sit and counsel them. It'll just get done in the prayer closet. And I can't say that I've come there completely, but I've learned. Hallelujah. So I believe the call is there, brother, for all, brethren, for all of us. All of us to pray. All of us to intercede. But God wants to do a work in us. He wants us to lay down our life, that when we come, we have influence. When I stand before God, I want him to say, boy, here he comes. Get ready, angels. We gotta heed it. Because whatever he asks, a man of faith and trust, but also a man of purity. I remember the times when I first got in deliverance, Brother Gene, and we'd be praying for somebody, and I'd start manifesting more than they were. Stir up something in them, find out it was in me too. Pardon me. Hallelujah. But brethren, you see this whole thing of deliverance. So many don't see it. I think, as some of us do, is that it's the personality. It's not just the drugs and the occult and that and the maniacs. It's the demons of the personality that God's after. Those things that manifest through you so subtly because you've given them place of anger and nervousness and all those things that come through your countenance.
That God's after total purity, total freedom.
Hallelujah.
And we've got to, you know, you can get weary in this. You can get tired. Say, God, I'm tired of getting deliverance. I'm tired of raw throats. And, you know, I'm tired of that. I don't want to go through that again. God says, don't give up, son. Don't quit now. Don't quit now. Don't quit now. Because now you're getting at the roots. You're laying the axe to the root. And see, God wants to lay the axe to the root of your personality. Because it's demonic. You've been groomed for this world system. And that, we got to lay the axe to the root of that junk and get it out so we can become kingdom people. So the seed of Jesse, the stump of Jesse can come forth in us. And we can be like him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's just pray a minute. See what God says. Before I stood up, the word that just kept coming and ringing in my spirit was purity, purity, purity. And brethren, the Spirit of the Lord, I think, is just saying here that there's some here today that just need to repent and get some impure things out of your life. Get all the impure things out of your life. Lying. Stealing. Let him that steals, steal no more. Covetousness. Sexual immorality. Anger. Unforgiveness and bitterness. Compromise. Rebellion. And before deliverance comes, there's got to be repentance. You got to fall out of agreement with that stuff. Then deliverance is easy. When I sit down with somebody and we start having to just pull them out, pull them out, pull them out, there's something wrong. And it's with that person. And see, God showed me something about Leviathan. He showed me that pride's not a spirit. Pride is a condition of the human spirit. You can't cast out pride. That's what God showed me. I may be wrong. Maybe I got deceived. But the Lord showed me, because I've tried to cast out pride, tried to cast out pride. It won't come out. The Lord says, the problem with Job was I had to deal with his spirit. It was contaminated with pride. And he had to be changed in his spirit. His spirit. Not an unclean spirit, but his spirit. And it's like a monster. Religious pride. Self-righteousness. All these things, brethren, that God's wrestling with me about. Am I the only one? Or is he not speaking to all of us? Get before me. Repent. Get your life cleaned up. Let me do a pure work in you. That there'll be no place for the enemy when the time comes, when the pressure gets greater, where you won't cave in. The enemy knows your weakness. And what God wants to deal with here in this meeting, these meetings, is that weakness. Because it makes you vulnerable. And it makes you, it leaves an open door in your life. And you know what it is. It might be sexual. It might be unforgiveness, anger, whatever it is. Where's the weakness? You know where it is. And that's where the attack's going to come. And God wants to deliver you of that. And set you free of that and strengthen you there. That you not be defeated. Hallelujah, when the horsemen come. Not be running with the footmen. But we're not always going to run with footmen, the word says. You've got to be ready for the horsemen. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father. Oh God, we're not going to try to work up something here, Father. But Lord, I pray that you would grant us a spirit of repentance. That you would grant us repentance, Lord. That you would grant us godly sorrow. That you would cause us, Lord, to see sin as you see it. To stir us up and open our eyes, Father. Lord, we've been so dulled by the media that we've grown conditioned to fornication, conditioned to violence. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. We need you, Lord, to touch us. God, Father, stir us. Until, Father, we can see it in reality and turn from our wicked ways. Oh, God, and repent. Lord, I loose the spirit of repentance. Let it come forth. Let it deal with our hearts. Lord, Father, wrestle with us. Don't let us go, Lord. Love us enough, Father. Have mercy upon us in our own condition. That, Lord, we might, oh, God, begin to lay aside those things that have beset us. Lord, many of us here have been beset. We've grown weary in well-doing. We've tired in the battle. Some have been wounded, Father. Lord, let this be a time of repentance and restoration, that we might leave this place and go out in strength, refreshed for new conquests, Lord. Father, oh God, Father, Lord, homes here that are crumbling, marriages that are crumbling, lives, Lord, that are caving in. Lord God, Lord God, hear us, Father. Hear us, Lord, and grant the petitions that we bring before you this day. And Father, I can't do it for everyone here, but for myself, Lord, Lord, I give you permission and full, Lord God, opportunity to work in my life and deal with my heart. Oh God, that we might be transparent and honest with ourselves and with one another. Lord God, as we stand naked before you. Father, help us. Help us, Lord. Break the cycles that some of us have lived in. In Jesus' name. I'm seeing in the Spirit that there's some here that have been living in the same routine month after month after month, year after year after year, and God says, now is the time to break that. You've got to break that cycle. It's gone on and on and on, and the Lord wants you free of it. And it starts with a decision. It's not going to be just cast out of you. It's a decision. God, this day, this very moment, this very hour, I'm going to come into reality. I'm going to break and loose myself from this thing and shake myself and repent of this. And Lord, in your strength then, I'll break out of this cycle and come into a new realm in you and be transformed. Hallelujah. I speak that to you to encourage you, that the Spirit of the Lord wants to do that kind of a work in people's lives. Some of us have lived with the same habits, same addictions for years, and we said, oh, I'd like to get free. God says, if you will reach out to me, I will reach out to you. I will respond to your response. But until you respond, I will not respond. And God says, now's the time to respond. It's available here for the work of my Spirit to be done in your life if you'll reach out for it. But I'm waiting on your response. Hallelujah. And I will bring deliverance. I will break the powers of hell. I will break the powers of habits and addiction. If you will reach out to me and make a decision, a quality decision, that's it. I'm done with that. I'm going to attack this thing today aggressively. I'm going to pagar it with all I've got. And with that violence, we'll take the kingdom. Hallelujah. And if we'll shake ourselves and wake up and stand up, God will move for us. But not for a bunch of lethargic sluggards will God move. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to explode. Praise God. I hope I blow up and you never see me again until... Hallelujah. It excites me. There's some things I'm going to reach out for. Hallelujah. I didn't even know this was going to come up. But brethren, right now, where you sit, get honest with God. He knows it anyway. Get honest with God. Lay it out before Him. And let's set the stage for the hours that we've got here the next couple of days. And this place will literally explode with deliverance and healing. But let's get right. Let's get right. Let's repent. I don't want to put you under condemnation or under a irrational guilt. But let's get honest with God. Not be fearful about a doom and gloom thing. And when we get right with God and get honest with God, the joy will come and flood our hearts. And it'll be the joy of God. It won't be false fire. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Just sit and be quiet before God for a little while. He's going to speak to us. Just don't be worried about being quiet. Hallelujah. The Lord just tells me, brethren, that we'll just sit here and wait on God. Brethren,
I've had a real battle with food. This time a year ago, I was down where I ought to be. I had a real victory. It came out of a 23-day fast. I lost 40 pounds. Kept it off for over a year, year and a half. Got into a situation and just lost the battle. I can blame it on this and I can blame it on that, but the finger always comes back here. And I know that maybe one of the disciples or two were fat. I don't know. Peter may have weighed 450 pounds for all I know. But I know that this is a temple here and this is a quality of life the Lord wants me to be in, so I'll have stamina, endurance, and divine health. And I know that I can't put junk in here and expect divine health to come out. That there's some practical principles. And I know that this thing's got to be exercised a little bit. And I don't want to get into what the world's into now with their aerobics and so forth, but there's some wisdom there. In fact, our church in Dallas is meeting in an aerobic center now. I guess God's speaking to me. I don't know. Got pink carpet. Mirrors. And we need that. We need to look at ourselves real hard every time we meet. But the Lord's speaking to me that there's others here that are having a battle with food addictions and the battle of the bulge. And I don't know how many times you've made that decision, but I've made it 595 times and again. But I really believe today, brother, that the Lord is here for us to step into that decision and to take up the battle once and for all until we wrestle this thing down and get the victory. And the goal of this thing is not to look good. The goal of this thing is to please Him. And when you go after it just to look good, to appeal to men, you're going to lose every time. But to please the Lord as the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I believe today if we'll make a quality decision about that, repent. Repent of our sins, of gluttony and excess, that God will meet with us and give us the wisdom and strengthen us in the battle. And in His wisdom and in His power, day by day, it'll begin to come off of us and we'll get where we ought to be. If we'll be obedient. And brother, I don't feel any big goosebumps about it. I'm finding more and more of the kingdom is not goosebumps. It's just decisions and integrity and diligence. God's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That means with a long, arduous, continuous way. If you do that, you'll find God. So it's a decision. So I want to know how many here today, I'm standing for myself, are ready to just offer that to the Lord today and say, Lord, from this day, knowing that I may blow it once in a while, but from this day I'm setting my course, Lord, and I'm going to pagah this thing. I'm going to fall upon it. I'm going to kill it. And I may have to wrestle it for 3 months. And it may win some, and I may win some, but I am going into the battle today, once and for all, until I get the victory, and not let go. Not let go. And I believe God supernaturally will meet us here today. That's what the Spirit of the Lord tells me. So all of you that's a part of what you need to do, why don't you just stand up and we'll just agree together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, brother, don't take this lightly. Don't take this lightly. It means some commitment here. Hallelujah. Just tell the Lord you repent. Just say, Father, I repent of gluttony, of just excess, of lust, covetousness, Lord. Just giving in, Lord, to the lust of the flesh. Father, forgive me. Forgive us, Lord. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we just reach out to you today for victory. Not to please the eyes of man. Not for the lust of the eyes, Lord. Or for the pride of life. But Lord, just to please you. To be a temple. I pray for wisdom, Lord. For every one of us. Wisdom. Father, for a spirit of wisdom. For a spirit of strength, Lord God. Father, show us and lead us each individually in our own walks of life. Lord God, what to eat, what not to eat.
Strengthen us, Lord, in that diligence and in that determination, Father. And oh God, I rebuke the demons that have come to help in this. I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke you. I bind you. I command you to leave us in Jesus' name. Every demonic spirit that's come in because of our gluttony in Jesus' name and our weight, go in Jesus' name. I rebuke every spirit of infirmity, every spirit in Jesus' name that affects the metabolism. Get out in the name of Jesus. Satan, I break your power now in every one of us. In Jesus' name, now leave this day. And Father, we just set our will. And we know, Father, that in your strength we can do it. Show us, Lord, how to exercise this thing. Show us, Lord. We look for your direction and your wisdom, Father. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just to touch every one of us, Lord, right now. Touch us. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I rebuke every spirit that would get religious and proud in Jesus' name. Now you go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Be seated, brother. And brethren, I just feel the Spirit of the Lord saying this to me. Don't talk that much about it. Just do it. Don't go around blowing about it. Just do it. And the less you blabber about it and so forth, the more victory you're going to see. Just let quietness and confidence be your strength in this. Just believe God. And He'll show you. You'll know what to push back and what to eat. And you know when you need to go out and just take a good brisk walk. You know, you can really get into this thing, man. You can spend $1,000 on rolling machines and bicycles and bars and bells and all. I've done that and I'm still haven't got the victory. Hallelujah. Now, others of you here just have an addictive problem of some sort. Drugs, tobacco, alcohol, caffeine, sugar, any kind of addictions. Just stand up and we're going to believe God today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. Be courageous. If anybody judges you, the Lord help them. Hallelujah. Well, stand up. Now, brethren, let's believe God. I believe He's here to meet us today. And just deliver us. Hallelujah. Out of repentance. Out of a decision. A quality decision. Hallelujah. And brethren, when He delivered me a cigarette, He didn't take the desire away from me. Now, some folks get that. I don't want to discourage anybody. But He just simply told me, He said, you want cigarettes or you want more of me? That's your choice. I said, well, Lord, since you put it that way. And I that was it. I haven't had one now since that day at 1 o'clock on Monday afternoon as I was on my way out to the 7-Eleven to get me another pack. God says, you want more of me or you want cigarettes? I'm telling you, cigarettes themselves are one thing. But, brethren, it will lock you in from going further in God. Any kind of addiction like that is an idol where you're addicted to it. And little children, keep yourselves from idols. Father, Lord, I just pray for these people that stand here. Lord, we're not a defeated people. We're a victorious people. And Father, as they've made a decision to stand, Father, we've just come repenting. Just tell the Lord you're turning from that today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name right now. In Jesus' name right now. And I make a decision. Just tell the Lord. Lord, I make a decision that from this moment on, that goes out of my life. And just tell the Lord what it is. Hallelujah. I rebuke all fear. Satan, I bind you from your fears and your accusations in Jesus' name. I command you addictive spirits now to come out of everyone that's standing here. Come out. Sugar addiction, nicotine, caffeine, food addictions, drug addictions. Come out. Come out. You unclean spirits, I cast you out. Now come out right now. Everyone. Come out. Go. Go, demons. Go. You're bound and cast out. Go in the name of Jesus. By the power of His blood. Come out. Come out of the lungs. Come out of the stomach. Come out of the blood. Come out in the name of Jesus. Out of the brain, the cortex of the brain. In Jesus' name, I break your hold, Satan, you demons. Come out of these people. In the name of Jesus right now, we break your hold, Satan. In Jesus' name, we'll be defeated no more. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I lose victory. I lose victory in the name of Jesus and strength, Lord. Lord God, touch everyone with strength. Strength of will, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, demons, you loose the will where you bound it up and dulled it. Go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Two cannot walk together except they be agreed. And you've got to fall out of agreement with this thing and say, no more. That's it. That's it. From this moment on. From this moment on. Get out in the name of Jesus. Get out. Get out. Spirits of aspirin and drug and tranquilizer spirits, go. In the name of Jesus, get out. All you addictive spirits, get out. Nasal spray addictions, go in the name of Jesus. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. All the drug spirits of the past, go in the name of Jesus. Marijuana, go in Jesus' name. Uppers, downers, go in the name of Jesus. Come on out. I cast you out, you unclean spirits, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Addictions to cokes and soft drinks, go in the name of Jesus. Get out. All of you. All of you. All of you out. We cast you out. In the name of Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.